This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Athletic, which happens to be one of my favorite websites, I frequent that. And they're not cheap. Let's just say that. They're not cheap. They've ranked every major league team over the past 25 years. It's 30 teams. The Orioles over the past 25 years, Jeremy, ranked 29th. Only the Pittsburgh Pirates are ranked worse. Pittsburgh Pirates is the only franchise that has a negative of zero or a negative 4 points. And I'll explain the point system to you. Now, you and I can sit here and rank all 30 teams by opinion. And that opinion can be debated. It's hard to debate the Athletics rankings because they did a point system. Now, we can debate the point system and say that's fair or unfair. So let me tell you how the point system goes.
Okay.
For winning a World Series, you get 9 points. For losing a World Series, you get 6 points. For losing the championship series, you get 3 points. Before you ask how many points you get for winning the championship series, 6 points because you, at least six because you lost and won the World Series. So you don't get points for that. All right. Losing the divisional series, you get 2 points. And losing the wild card round, you get 1 point. The system also incentivizes division titles with 1 point, but it penalizes prolonged losing cycles. Like, ooh, each time they lose at least 90 games in consecutive years, they get a point deducted.
Oh, we had a 3-year span that was just amazing.
But we had also had a 5-year span
where they were the winningest team in baseball.
Exactly. So their points kind of added up. All right. Now, let me give you the top five.
But there's not a lot of playoff success either.
Right.
So
let me give you the top five.
Okay.
Number five, the Houston Astros with 58 points, tied with the Boston Red Sox also with 58 points. Number three is surprising to me. And I guess when you go to the beginning of the millennium, yeah, they were pretty hot. The St. Louis Cardinals, 68 points. Yeah, you think about it.
Oh, they,
the beginning of the millennium, they were bad.
But they,
I mean, bad meaning good.
But they were also a team. Remember when we would talk about the Dodgers' failures?
Yeah.
And Clayton Kershaw, and they called him Peyton Kershaw, and all those things that were going on. He kept running into the Cardinals in the postseason because everybody's like, how the hell is Matt Carpenter, a lefty, owning Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah.
And they did. They just beat his ass.
The Dodgers ranked second with 73 points. The number one team, and again, if you look at what they did at the beginning of this millennium, they ran things back to back to back in terms of getting to the World Series and beyond. Well, there's no beyond. The New York Yankees at 83 points are the number one team.
Okay.
Now, in the bottom five teams, number 26 are the Colorado Rockies with 7 points. Tied with the Seattle Mariners with 7 points.
I remember the beginning of the millennium, too, was pretty good for the Mariners.
Yeah, and they just hit rock bottom. Then the Cincinnati Reds with 5 points.
Makes sense.
The Baltimore Orioles with 3 points. Okay. And the Pittsburgh Pirates with minus 4 points.
Well, when you think about it and you start thinking about teams like, oh, was this team – like Tampa Bay was really bad early on, but I'm assuming some of the success here recently getting to a World Series, that kind of changes some of that stuff, which the Orioles haven't.
Tampa Bay is ranked ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Tampa's 18th with 20 points.
Wow.
The Chicago White Sox are ranked ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays.
But they won
Jays.
A World Series in that period of time, too.
And so did the
White Sox. White,
yeah. 18 points. Brewers, 16 points. Nationals, 14 points. And at 22nd, 22 is the Toronto Blue Jays with 10 points.
Yeah, there's so here's the deal. With the way that their scoring system is, I don't think you can complain about anything. The way that they tell you they're setting it up. Because getting to the World Series and winning is going to put you in the middle of the pack, at least, right? You expect. Because it's not going to be a singular season where you made a run. Like, you're going to get to the playoffs and accumulate some other points. You're going to win some playoff series, those things, over a 25-year span. But the other thing about this, too, is even getting there and losing is still going to boost your ratings here or where you rank. Looking at the Orioles, we haven't had that playoff success. We've won a couple divisions. Right. You had that 5-year span. But the losing from 2000
to like horrible.
2011 is... Ugh.
Yeah, it was bad. It was like, you know.
But again, Tampa was that bad, but Tampa got to a World Series, and they've won multiple playoff series.
Yeah, there were times you went to places you didn't want to tell people you were an Orioles fan. You're like,
Yeah. Whew, man.
Yeah.
That's rough, man. When you start thinking about, looking at what's happened with this team, and I think it's part of the reason why fans are so starved and so angry that things aren't going, like they're just not out throwing money at it. But I don't know if people realize that was the problem of the old regime where they, and again, it doesn't mean they couldn't sign somebody and still have these guys here. But at some point you have to see who Kierstead is. You have to see who Kobe Mayo is, unless you're willing to move those guys. But they have such high hopes because they've drafted so well and developed so well that these guys are going to turn into stars.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe, do you agree with this ranking system? The points.
I mean, the numbers are the numbers. I guess it's just hard for us to...
Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving.
It's true. It's hard for us to accept.
See, this is
the ranking is the ranking.
That's true.
This is how you play the game, though. Do you think the Orioles have been better than the Reds over the past 25 years?
Yeah.
Okay. They're not on this. You think they've been better than the Mariners the last 25 years?
Yeah.
Rockies?
It's hard for me to say. I can't say they've been better over 25 years because either
you're
one of those
You're barely 25
teams,
years old, you buck.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, when you look at it over the... We had a rebuild not that long ago, which we got to relatively quick. And then you also had those 2000 to 20 that just killed you.
The only team that I could say the Orioles have been better than over the last 25 years are the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
I can't argue with this.
Might make the case for the Colorado Rockies.
The Colorado Rockies went to the World Series.
Oh. But are they ranked higher than them?
The Colorado Rockies are ranked higher than the Orioles.
Okay.
They went to the World Series.
That's why.
So
that 1 year is going to rank you higher when you've had equal teams.
Seattle Mariners had what the most wins in the regular season. During this span,
mm-hmm.
went to several playoff series during this span. I can't. The Marlins won 2 World Series during this time.
Yeah.
The Padres went to World. Did the Padres go to World Series in the 2000s?
No, that was 98.
That was 98, yeah. Royals went to 2. Toronto has been better. These teams, the Nationals won a World Series. Yep. I can't make an argument. I can say what Joe just said. I don't like it. I can't. It's hard for me to accept the fact that out of 30 teams, that my franchise has been next to last for 25 years.
I think the only gripes you're going to have.
But nowadays is a little bit different. I can smile about that.
Yeah, you might look at the NL Central and the AL Central and pick some teams that you thought you were better than. Because I think those two divisions, you also got to remember back with the NL Central, like the Cubs getting to a World Series and winning. But you mentioned the Pirates and the Reds. They're the perfect ones to bring up. St. Louis has been successful. But then you get to the AL Central and you're like, okay, what about the Tigers? But again, like you look at some of the years where the Tigers had good seasons. Remember when they had 3 Cy Young winners? That's right. We beat them in the postseason.
Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. The Athletic scores the Orioles 29 out of 30 teams in MLB franchise rankings in the past 25 years. Barbershop topic of the day on The Fan. 8:17 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Shovels at 8:30, but right now, taking your phone calls, Barbershop topic of the day. The Athletic.com did a grading system, a ranking system, if you will, where they ranked the 30 Major League Baseball teams. Winning the World Series, did points. Winning the World Series, you got 9 points. Losing the World Series, you got 6 points. Losing in the Championship Series gave you 3 points. Losing in the divisional round got you 2 points. And losing in the wild card round got you 1 point. Now, you did get another point for incentives, the divisional titles, and you also got a point docked each time you had consecutive seasons of 90 losses, meaning in the 2000 and 2001, you lost 90 or more. That's one point deducted from you. The only team that was negative in points were the Pittsburgh Pirates at negative 4 points for the 25-year period. Orioles ranked 29th. Your thoughts? 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Baltimore and get Marcus.
Marcus.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I was working down the stadium, and I believe Daniel Cabrera was our pitcher when Texas came in and hung 30 on us.
Oh, yeah. I was there. That was a doubleheader.
Wasn't that the day they made Dave Trimley the manager? I mean, not interim, but gave him the
I don't know if it was that
job.
Day or if it was like shortly after, but I was there because I did pre and post for the Orioles at that year. And I think it was one of the days it was Cal Ripken getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, or they were announcing something in Cooperstown, because I was doing the doubleheader and it was 30-3 in the first game. You're like, God, the second game
was a doubleheader.
The second game was like 11-9 or 11-8 or something. And that game took even longer than the first game.
I'm sorry. What's going on your mind? We cut you off.
Yeah, we pontificated. But,
like, so I'm not mad at the ranking. Like, the way I feel about them now, it's like, yeah, of course. You know what I mean? Because I was also, once we first made the playoffs, and then that Delman Young year, which was probably the best feeling I've ever had as an Orioles fan, when he hit that double off the wall, and I was just like, man, like, but then, like, losing to Kansas City by, like, 3 points or something like that. For that whole series, like,
were you at that Delman Young game?
No, well, no, I was at Pickles.
Okay, all right, and I'm asking that for a reason. I'll give my reason later. Hey, Marcus, thanks a lot, my friend. Appreciate that. Now, this is my thing,
darling.
I feel bad for the people who say Delman Young moment was their greatest moment as an Oriole, and the reason why I asked Marcus was he there, because if you were there, I get it. Because my greatest moment as an Oriole fan, I wasn't there, but it was my greatest moment. I'm old enough to remember the pitcher wound up by Scott McGregor, the line, soft line of the Cal Ripken, and the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
That was my greatest moment as a Oriole fan.
I get
now
that.
Now, me being home in my bedroom watching that, and Marcus said, no, I was at Camden Yards with Delman Young, because I was at Camden Yards with Delman Young. If he compared the two, yes, I could understand why. But he wasn't there. So I feel bad for you that's your greatest moment.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
I think
mine is winning the World Series.
My greatest moment is when I woke up and saw that we had traded a douchebag for Adam Jones, George Sherrill, and some other, a couple other players that never panned out. Man, that was a great day when they traded Eric Bedard. And the Seattle media got to meet him right away. You got 3 questions. Why do we only have 3 questions? That's a good question. Now you have 2. Oh, douchebag. Way to introduce yourself to him. But look, I think there's a lot of people that are going to have those types of moments that you're talking about, where the Delman Young thing's always going to come up because it looked like the stadium was moving that day.
Yeah.
It was shaking.
That was the day we buried my grandmother. I didn't want to go to the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I ended up going anyway. I didn't want to go. I got there probably 10 or 15 minutes before that.
Did that... I don't like saying, did that lessen
lift you? Oh, it lifted my spirits big time, man. I bust out crying. Yeah. And everybody thought I was crying over that. No. Here's Brian on Twitter, on X. To be fair, the Mariners have only made the playoffs 3 times since 2000 and went from 2001 to 2022 between playoff appearances. The Reds have 4 playoff appearances, 0 series wins, and 2 total playoff wins since 2000. Yes, but you're forgetting this. How many consecutive 90-loss seasons have they had? You got to throw in everything, Jeremy. The whole point system. How many seasons do they have of consecutive 90 losses? Because that means those things matter, but they're not getting a lot of points deducted. Mm-hmm. The Orioles have had that a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look.
They've had that a lot.
If you want to talk about going through a rebuild, and then obviously, again, that 2000 to 2010, or what would you say, 2002 to 2010, those were dreadful. Those were all the years where we were being told about these 29-year-old prospects being great players.
Chris Ray?
Yeah.
Chris Ray.
How's Rodimus Liz doing?
All right, let's go to 2000, Jeremy. In 2000, they lost. Okay, it's with, in 2001, they lost 98 games. Then they lost 95. Then they lost 92. That's 2 points deducted. 2006, 93 losses. Okay, 2006, all right, 92 losses, 93 losses, that's a point deducted. 93 losses, point deducted. 98 losses, point deducted. 96 losses, point deducted. 93 losses, point deducted. Then let's come up to 2018, 115 losses to 108 losses, point deducted.
We got better.
So you can't just tell me what they did with the playoffs, that those teams have all of those consecutive 90-loss seasons.
By the way, you can sit here and argue with it the way that it's placed and listed, but according to their scoring system, this is what it is. That's what the math tells you it is.
And I'm trying to tell the guy on X, you got to understand also, you got to look at the whole picture. You look at the Reds, for instance. He wanted to argue the Reds. Reds had a 96-loss season in 01 and 80-loss season the next year. 93-loss season in 03, 80 losses the next year. They never stacked 90 losses until 15. They had four straight, so that's three deducted points. That's only 3 points deducted. That's the only time they stacked 90 losses. That goes into their math equation that you got to take into consideration. Kevin in Catonsville. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing
good.
Well. How are you?
And you know, I'm good, man. Actually, it's like when listening to y'all, it's like we in the barbershop, Jeremy, with his off-color jokes. You know what I mean? Sports, politics.
Everything.
Hey, but you know, based on the criteria, the Orioles are 29th. I mean, you can make your criteria and use whatever, you know, stats or configurations that you want to make your point. But based on this one, this is where they are. And that's fine because, like you said, Rob, I'm more excited about do this in the next 25 years and see how we stack up.
Yeah.
You know? So, and funny, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about the Orioles need pitching and all that. But I looked at the Kansas City Royals. I looked at them from 2013 to 2015, and they went to the World Series twice. They won it. But their pitching staff wasn't that great as far as big names. But they had a great bullpen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I see that. And they had their core played minor, came up in the minors together, and they won together. And I kind of see the same similarity with this team. So, but y'all have a good day, man.
You too, man. Thanks a lot.
That kind of gets back to what we were talking about with the superstars kind of being here. And again, when you go back and look at that Kansas City team, maybe you didn't call some of those guys superstars, but in that wheelhouse that you had with the likes of Eric Hosmer at first base and Sal Perez, and who am I missing? There was like two other really good players on that Royals
team.
Lorenzo Cain was phenomenal in center field, stealing bases.
They had a great bullpen, back of the bullpen.
Well, he mentioned it. Wade Davis was like, I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah.
Like, he's what now? He's got a one-run ERA? Like, he was lights out.
Jeremy, we're doing shovels next, so I got to mention this. This is not my shovel. I had to check to make sure I said it right. Now, at 9:15, we're doing the all-time Oriole lineup without using current Hall of Famers.
Please say it again, online don't read.
I had to read what I wrote on Facebook. Keith Matthews, the only reason you're not getting a shovel because somebody else is getting it. His lineup includes Eddie Murray at first base, Roberto Alomar at second, Cal Ripken at short, and Jim Palmer is the starting pitcher.
I like that line.
So I said, you can't use one Hall of Famer, you use four.
Well, then he didn't. He did
it. I said any of the current Hall of Famer. He used four. Dude, what are you reading? It says it up there.
You sound angry.
Because this is what people do with more important stuff. They do this with more important things. They don't read. Shovels up next on The Fan.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggest idiots deserve the big bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to give shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BVMS, 1057 The Fan. Jeremy Conn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, I got two shovels, and it'll be quick. But,
okay.
Let me throw this one first. Holy Cross, more like holy shh. Have you seen this? Holy Cross pitching staff broke the record by giving up an NCAA record of 23 runs in one inning against George Mason on Tuesday.
Wow.
The previous record was 21 runs by Wichita State and Penn State in 84 and 83. They gave
up 23 runs by one team or both teams?
By one team. And it was 23-0 after the top of the third.
I thought you were like total of 23 runs.
No. One inning, 23 runs. So I wanted to throw that out there just to make fun of Holy Cross.
Also not, didn't give up a home run.
No, they bled to death.
Bled to death. They got the first out. And then after that, it went like, it was like walk, walk, single, single, hit by pitch. And then it just kept going. And like three errors. It was bad.
Do you realize how bad that is that you just need a ground ball and you're out if you got the first
out? Yeah, they got that first out. All right, first out's down. Okay.
That's the equivalent of a team just scoring on you constantly. Not even throwing the ball. They're just running it down at the throat.
Gosh,
and,
man.
And the only reason I have two is that I have to give myself the other one.
Oh, I love that.
I was saying to Rob, so it was warm when I got in here. It was warm. It's nice outside today.
Right.
But as I left the house, I was saying in my mind, like, do I want to wear shorts?
Are you going to tell this one?
I don't care. What do I care, man? I talked about crap in my pants, which I've done multiple times as an adult. So this morning, I get in and I'm wearing a hoodie and sweatpants today because I have a light day. And as I'm coming in, I take the hoodie off and I'm sitting here and I lifted my arm up and I went, oh, damn. my deodorant wear off already? And I took another whiff and I went, oh no, I forgot to put on deodorant today. I am a musky son bitch right now.
He put his
so much
on.
That, oh, yeah, you noticed. I'm sitting here going, ooh.
Holding that stank.
And I said to him, you smell like you want to be alone.
You know what? You know what I should do? Is that because this a-hole farts in here all the time?
Just let it, just hold up your arms the rest of the show.
Just leave my wife beater on and put my arms up and talk the rest of the show. Because it is, because look, we played sports.
Yeah.
I know what it's like not to smell nice. And I don't smell nice today. But it's like, how did I forget? It's usually the first thing I do when I get out of the shower because I have my routine in the morning that I got to shower, take my depression medication, brush my teeth. But usually in between all that is put on deodorant as I'm getting dressed.
Yeah.
And I ain't do that today. So I stink. I'm sorry.
I don't have my gym bag with me. Normally I have a stick of deodorant in there.
That's what Joe said to me. But normally I have my car, which my son has, and I have the car my dad's given to us. Right now, my deodorant's sitting in the door handle in case this ever happens. And I, by the way, if you played sports, you probably should have deodorant in your car.
Well, I think you should have it either way.
Even if it's just a spray.
When you leave the house at 4:30 in the morning, keep some deodorant because sometimes you forget whether to put it on or not.
Yeah, but if Rob had his gym back here, you'd walk around smelling like Rob the rest of the day. Do you want that?
Let me smell you real quick. Is that cocoa butter?
I can smell you from here.
I can hear you from here.
Joe, set up the Kevin Durant sound for me, please, sir.
Mm. Yeah, that's what usually happens when you don't know the dynamics of a relationship. You know, you catch something on TV, you get a quote, and now you pushing that narrative as if me and Bud don't do all the time. We competitive as two individuals who want to see things done the right way. And sometimes my way ain't the way that Bud want to do it, and vice versa. And he allows me as a player on the team, a veteran on the team, to voice my opinion. If we both didn't care, we would never have stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that the win is going to sweep all of that stupid stuff under the rug because people couldn't wait. Even some people in Phoenix in here couldn't wait to run with that, you know, and say, oh, this is the reason why the team ain't playing well because of that specific thing. But come on, man. That shows that me and Bud really care about trying to win basketball games. So he understands where I'm coming from. I understand exactly where he's coming from.
And thanks a lot, Joe. This is just set this up. The Suns trailed the Clippers 65-49 at the half. They were getting run out of the building, their own building. Well, Suns coach Mike Budenholzer went to Kevin Durant and said something, and he kind of touched Kevin Durant's arm. Kevin Durant snatched away from him, walked away, turned back, and those two were going back and forth. And he sat down, Durant circled back, and at the time, like Durant had settled down talking to him. Well, the media ran with it, saying the things that Kevin Durant said. Shovel to the media. Because Kevin Durant, who is not one of my favorite players at all, is 110% right, Jeremy. 102. This is the have you all in the media ever competed? Have you ever really competed at a high level when the stakes are high?
You know, most of the guys haven't.
They have not. The most athletic thing they did this morning was tie their shoes. Seriously. Never played anything. Never saw a game through a helmet. Never stood in a batter's box. And I'm not saying you have to do those things in order to do this job. But I am saying that it helps.
I remember Adam Jones saying to a local writer here, have you ever thrown a baseball?
Exactly. Exactly. Even though throwing my first pitch, it looked like I hadn't. But I have. You know, seriously, dude. It's like when I saw that exchange, Jeremy, I'm like, I guess I didn't think that. You are down by 20 at home. You're not supposed to be high-fiving and yucking it up.
But again, like,
somebody's supposed to be pissed off. What do you say? Pissed off the greatness.
Yeah. You got to be pissed off for greatness.
Somebody is supposed to be upset in that moment.
Well, the other part of this, too, is it because of who this is coming from? Because it's KD. Because he's an easy target for the complaining through the media, having a burner account back in the day and going at people. He does seem like he's very fragile, but this is one he's 100% correct
on. Yes.
And that's why I'm saying I don't know if it matters who the messenger is.
I think, no.
Message.
I don't even know if it's the fact that it's Kevin Durant that is him. If it's anybody. This is the point that Durant is making. It makes him right. If you are a popular player in the NBA, it matters. It matters if it's LeBron. It matters if it's a Greek freak. Anybody whose name is recognized, the media is going to run with that story.
Yep.
They are, because that's what sells. Like the Red said, unfortunately, that's just the society that we live in right now. Negativity sells. 410-583-1057, that's the number. O's all-time lineup, not using current Hall of Famers at 9:15. Jeremy will give you his. I'll give you mine. We'd love for you to chime in. But on the other side, we're talking Terps, Hoops, big game tonight. Chris Knocke, who had a lot of things to do today. He had a lot to do today.
Oh,
in the words of my son, Robbie, it don't matter. Chris Knocke joins us up next. 8:47 in the a.m., Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is out today.
His drummer's white. Do you know that?
That's why it's off beat. He had to use the vocals to put it back on beat. They try to make it sound good, man, but it don't. Everything else goes around it, but the drums is all over the place.
Man, a white drummer would still be on beat. Don't do that to them. That's everyone else that dances to the words.
Name was Mitch Mitchell. His mom is not a nice lady.
His drummer is awesome.
That's funny. And Frank Beard was the guy in ZZ Top without
a beard.
So, like yesterday, I feel a little bad because I text Chris Knocke. He was with us courtesy of the Window Nation guest text line. And he told me that he was busy today. He had a podcast, blah, 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 all these things to do. And I'm like, okay, so does that mean you're still coming on?
First off,
he's gracious right now to join us.
There?
What's up, Chris Knocke?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Chris, I told the story earlier. I would like to apologize to you. Not only did he try to get Jim Palmer to get up at, what, the crack of dawn on the West Coast to come on our show, but he's also done this and strong-arm people. And the one thing he did to me is he bought tickets to his own event and gave them to us and said, hey, you owe me $100. I'm like, what the hell was this? It's BS, man, and I'm sorry.
Occasionally I get the text from Rob, and he'll say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow morning at 7? And I'm like, well, what do you think?
Of course, so sleep. And I respond with, oh, so 7:15?
Oh, man. This business.
Tonight is the tale of two teams going in opposite directions. Michigan was hot early on. I think, in my opinion, teams are starting to recognize that their guard play is not the best. And Maryland is going in the opposite direction. Their arrow was pointed up. Your thoughts on tonight's game, the matchup with the Wolverines?
Yeah, you know, every time I think about a scenario like that, you think about last night where Texas A&M had lost four straight games in a row. Uh-huh. And then they beat the nation's number one in Auburn. So you can't ever, you can't ever look at that, I think, trends. I just think that the Terps have to continue to play the way they've been playing. They hung in there. They had just a hellacious game against Michigan State, but just didn't play well in that game. They got back, I thought, on track in the second half of the Penn State game. It was a lot more like the Maryland team we've seen over the last 6 or 7 weeks. And when you consider, Rob, they started 1-3 in the league to be where they are right now at 12-6. They've come a long way.
I owe Jacoby Gillespie lunch since he didn't take that layup, as I had Penn State plus 4.5. Not that anybody cares about that, but when I said earlier, going into that game, because the way you lost against Michigan State, coming in to face an inferior opponent in a place that's just absolutely been a house of horrors for you for about 10 years, it showed me so much about this team's resolve to get that win. And again, I don't care if it was by 1, by 20, whatever. How do you feel about that? Because it does look like a different team to me.
Yeah, first of all, I'm sorry about the loss for you.
You covered.
Yeah,
you did. Okay.
Terps won by 4. Yeah, I got both my wishes right. So.
Good for you. Well, it was when I was talking to Kevin Willard in the locker room after the game. I mean, the first thing I said to him off mic was, GFW, that's a good win right there. That is a really good win.
Yep.
And a gritty win at that. And there were a lot of heroes. And one of them, Julian Reese, did all the subtle things you can do on a basketball court to help you win. I think he had an enormous impact in a game where he only scored 4 points. So there was
Chris,
a lot to feel.
That might be the best performance I've seen from somebody that couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. I mean, he filled up all the other stats. And
it's a senior for you.
It was amazing to watch him out there. And even with the stuff going on with the big man from Penn State as they were battling back and forth. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. He, again, a lot of subtle things that he was able to do. And I think that speaks to his maturity and growth for sure. Cause he found plenty of ways to contribute. And, Yeah, it ended up being a great win, and boy, does that wash the taste out of your mouth from Michigan State. You know, you get your chance to kind of a feel-good win. It made for a lot easier trip home, obviously, from not-so-Happy Valley up there. So, we'd struggle up there. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the arena, the whole atmosphere thing, but we have not had any luck up there whatsoever. So, all in all, it was a great weekend.
Chris Knocke joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Chris, I love Kevin Willard, but even in my love for Kevin Willard, I can make some observations. And sometimes I believe he's the Tom Thibodeau of college basketball because he is not willing to use his bench. Is that something, in your opinion, that will wear down this team when we get to March Madness?
I mean, I would be more concerned about it if there were a boatload of teams out there like Michigan State, you know, that had 10 guys and just basically ran them hockey style over the side. There aren't that many teams who play like that. We may see Michigan State one more time in the Big Ten tournament. But again, also when you get to the postseason, the timeouts are longer. You know, it's just it's a different. These games are more likely to be 2.5 hours. And then you get those insufferable long replays that officials go through in every game. I think they'll be okay with it. But, Rob, I think he'd feel more comfortable playing those guys if they just produced a little bit more.
I agree with you. I agree.
So I understand the reluctance for sure. There's such a delta between the quality of play from his starters and the guys off his bench right now, and there's not a whole lot of confidence out of that group either right now.
As a coach, you know what I say to players who feel like they're not getting enough playing time? Make me play you.
Yeah.
Make me play you.
I always told guys, I said, you guys are all about playing more. I'm about playing better. And it's simple. You know, you produce, you play, period. It's a meritocracy thing, right?
Yeah.
Chris, I mean, as a coach, what do you say to somebody like Rodney Rice struggling a little bit with the jump shot? You know, Rob and I were talking about this earlier this week and even in last week. Like, we always told our guys, get to the line, just see the ball go through the hoop. What are your thoughts on Rice? And I think he figures this out.
Yeah, I mean, to me, a guy like Rodney has got to have a short memory. He's the cornerback, right? I mean, you're going to get burned periodically, but you got to always think. And I know what's going through Rodney's mind because I knew his father well, and I've known Rodney for a long time. And he's always thinking the next one's going in, and that's just the way you have to think. I like the way he stuck with it in that game. Much like Julian, he found ways to contribute, and he was ready. He didn't hang his head. He was ready when that last shot had to be made. And again, there are plenty of guys that deserve credit for the W, and Rod's one of them for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Big game tonight. Go Terps, get the win against Michigan, and come on back home to close out the regular season. Hey, Chris.
I vote yes. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks a lot for the time, my friend.
You available tomorrow at 7 after the game?
thanks,
Chris.
All right, thanks a lot, man. And the thing about it is he's not embellishing. I did. One day I texted him, what are you doing tomorrow at 6? And his response was, the hell you think I'm doing at 7? I mean, at 7. <Yeah. laughs> And my response was, so 7:30?
Yeah. It's always like yeah, I don't know if I can do that. I mean, I'll just have to get back to you about, so yes or no, which he didn't give me. You know when somebody gives you that open-ended answer where it's like, I know you don't want to do it, but I feel like I can get you to.
So. If you don't tell me no, then there's a yes in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I'm a closer.
That's the biggest thing I learned in therapy. Set some damn boundaries, man.
I'm a closer. Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line, so you can win some cash at 9:30. But on the other side, Jeremy,
mm-hmm.
You may be cheering it on from here on out, but we might be looking at one of the most unfortunate seasons in NBA
well,
history.
I don't want to laugh because I love Kyrie.
Up next right here on The Fan.